planet Earth. 2009, the human race found itself under attack by a mysterious alien swarm. UFOs darkened the sky, then set it ablaze with a fearsome and blinding light. These beings were cruel and relentless. Trillions fled in terror, but there was nowhere to run. Human technology was no match for the invaders' weapons. Police and military were quickly overwhelmed. Within hours of first contact, mankind was brought to its knees, forced to surrender to eons of slavery. Wait, none of that happened? You just made me lie to the audience? What kind of show is this?
Welcome to Tuning In, the Tuning Japanese sub-program where we watch the first episode of an anime for the very first time and give our impressions on it. Tonight's episode, Sergeant Frog!
Ghetto, ghetto, ghetto.
Ghetto, ghetto, ghetto.
Ghetto, ghetto, ghetto.
I thought it said caro, caro, caro. Like the syrup?
No, that's not actually the case. Hi-ho, my name is Andy.
You definitely need more Kermit voices on this recording.
I'm Andy.
What smells like ham?
Oh, you shouldn't have said that around Piggy, Bill.
I'm not sure which part you're laughing at.
That's Matt.
Is it?
I think so. Hi, everyone. We're here for another episode. Tuning in. Very excited. This is episode 6 of this bonus season that we are doing these episodes where, again, as Matt so succinctly and nicely stated, we are watching the first episode of an anime, and we are talking about it, reviewing it, and giving our impressions overall. It is my week this week, and as Matt said, we are watching Sergeant Frog.
And our impressions this week are Kermit.
Because what else?
Yes, that's our impressions
this week. When I said what smells like ham, I expected what he is, the Kermit voice, to say my finger.
Shut up, pig bitch.
I would never besmirch the greatness of the Muppets by being so crass.
I would honor the greatness of the Muppets by being so crass.
I just remember being a senior in high school, and another friend of mine and I would go back and forth. He did a really good Miss Piggy voice, and I did a Kermit voice, and then we were being crude with our commentary back and forth, and our crazy old batshit teacher was like, "We should do a puppet show," and we're like, "Absolutely not!"
Oh Kermit, kissy kissy kissy.
That turned into that movie your stepdad gave you.
We're not rehashing that. I'm almost positive that's come up on recording at some point. I'm sure we've talked about Let My Puppets Come at some point. We're not talking about it here on this episode right now, though. But what we are going to talk about is the very first episode of Sergeant Frog. I'm very excited to talk about this. This is an anime that, for anyone who's been with us for a long time, might have remembered us maybe mentioning it briefly at one point when... In a different part of my life, when Ray and I were doing bonus seasons for the Patreon, we actually had planned to do some episodes of Sergeant Frog as a bonus season and never really fully materialized. So I've got some old notes from way back then that I'm going to kind of utilize along with my recent viewing of this episode to talk about it. Very excited. Did you know that Sergeant Frog, also known as Keroro Gunzo, which is the literal translation, apparently, of Sergeant Frog, has a manga. Sorry.
Mungo.
Yep, that's what I'd say right there.
Mangler.
There are 28 volumes of this manga.
It's a lot of frog.
Just can't get that invasion off the ground, huh?
No. Apparently, from April 1999 all the way through September 2007, and then it got picked up again, I think, for another set of stories from October 2013, and I think it might still potentially be ongoing now, today, even. the English publication done by Tokyo Pop, and was picked up by Viz Media. It was picked up as an anime, ran from 2004 until 2011. Apparently there are 7 seasons of this anime, which is a lot. I've only seen parts of the first season. I have not finished the first season.
I can't imagine 7 years of this show.
Can you not? Yeah, I don't know. Apparently it piloted originally on YouTube from my research.
That makes sense.
And some of the words like Pikapon and Pikaponians,
yeah,
were changed to Planet Wuss and Wussians, apparently, originally in the YouTube version.
Okay.
I don't know why. I'm not really sure. Apparently, Pikapon is a derogatory Japanese word, is based on a derogatory Japanese word, rather, Pokopon, which is used to describe China during, like kind of as like a negative word for the Chinese.
Whoa.
That tracks.
Yeah, so the word has been banned by the Japanese media authorities apparently at some point. But here we are with this weird version.
I'm glad that wasn't more literally adapted.
Yeah, I'm.
Because that.
Yeah, huh?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm actually in agreement with that. In my notes here, also it says there are 5 theatrical movies apparently.
What? How?
Everyone loves Sergeant Frog, Bill.
Yeah, it's only like the best show with frogs in it out there, you know.
It has a 7, at least it's about a 7.8 on IMDb ish, somewhere around there. It might vary now, but
pretty
when I
high.
First took these notes, decently high praise.
Pretty high.
Pretty high. So the anime that we see in this first episode, they split each episode into 2 mini episodes, which immediately gave me some Shin-Chan vibes. Because if you ever watched the Shin-Chan, like the English version of the Shin-Chan, the weird, like here's a bunch of clips from the Japanese version that were like just kind of spliced together. It was like a lot of little mini episodes that were spliced together into one.
I feel like that was a very 90s thing in general. Like we had a lot of cartoons back then too that were 2 15-minute blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's maybe some of the reason why we get that here, just from the time that it was originally created, and that was just a really popular, like you said, a really popular thing to do. We saw that in a lot of the Cartoon Network shows back in the day.
A lot of the Nicktoons.
The Nicktoons as well. It would always be like little minier segments, which is what we get
yeah,
in
like,
this first
like
episode.
Rugrats was always 2 episodes in a half hour.
I think Rocco was too.
I think all of them were. Aureo Monsters and... Mm-hmm.
No wonder we have such short attention spans.
Yeah, pretty much.
Doesn't help.
It was always weird when like they actually had a full-length episode, like one continuous story, because you're like, oh man, some crazy shit's going to happen in this episode of Hey Arnold or something. So, some very special episode.
Somebody touched Skeeter or something.
do we want to talk about these 2 mini episodes here? Like, so the first episode is called Meet the Sergeant. If you want to watch this episode after we talk about it, or if you want to pause here and go watch it, then join us for our discussion of it. Bill and I watched it on Funimation, and I believe, Matt, you watched it in Japanese on Crunchyroll.
I did indeed.
Well, you can go watch it on either of those 2.
Yes.
So we pan in on Tokyo, and this narrator already is, like, making me crack up because he's like, the year was 2009, but the screen reads 2004. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those when I first watched it.
It's a very high contrast art style.
We got alien ships on a skyline. The world's under attack. There's a blinding light coming from the ships, and these small shadowy creatures with glowing eyes come down. I like the art. I really do like the art in this opening scene. It's very cool. These, quote, cruel and relentless beings apparently caused trillions to flee in terror. The human defenses couldn't stand up against the invader's weaponry. Oh, wait, apparently none of this happened.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
And we hear you just made me lie to the audience. What kind of show is this from the narrator? And I'm getting major Excel Saga vibes as well.
Shin-Chan, too. Like, it felt like it was not directly adapted.
No, not at all. What do you guys think of the theme song?
Very annoying.
Delightfully, annoyingly catchy.
Oh, yeah, they were batshit crazy lyrics, too.
I would like to read to you just a few of the lyrics. I've got them pulled up, And I just want to read just kind of like a little poetry corner here.
Are you going to put on a hat?
To chomp on the McElroy's flavor a little bit. I could put on a hat. I don't have a frog hat. I do have a toad hat. So here we go.
That's a toad stool hat, not a toad amphibian hat, folks.
Yes. You know what? It's the closest I have to a frog hat, Matt. It's the best I could do. Kero, 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 march forward, invade the earth. Kero, 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 when I head out with my umbrella, it's always sunny outside. Attention, steal your eyes. I forgot to cook the rice for the curry. My little toe got caught in the closing doors, and when I got on the train, it went the wrong way. The company resort is Caron. Oh, it would have been cheaper to buy dinner instead. And it's just a bunch of weird fucking shit. With this boiling, fighting spirit of ours, which is carved in our chests, forever we must win. We are Caron. He talks about, it's weird. It's a fucking water drops, beads of sweat, and teardrops. When brushing teeth, use strawberry flavor. It's a bizarre fucking theme song.
Yeah, that was like, when it got to the, my toothpaste is strawberry flavor. Okay.
It's delightful, though. It is delightful. I'm here for it. So the first episode, we're introduced to a typical Japanese family and, you know, the typical trope of the Japanese family with a talking alien pet. This is basically Alf, isn't it?
It really, yeah, it is.
I just dawned on me.
Yeah, he's a little bit Roger from American Dad, a little bit Alf.
Holy shit, he is a little bit Roger.
Yeah, if Alf was a more militaristic alien, yeah.
So in this first episode, he's living with his family. I love these first couple episodes because we get to the first half of episode 1A. 1B's like, yeah, we probably should have aired these in the opposite order to show you like how we got here.
Yeah, I guess technically, I guess we're at episode 1B right now.
Technically, it's 1B. So like, he's definitely got these plots and plans to like take over the world, but you get the idea pretty early on that he's really terrible at his job.
He doesn't even have plots and plans. He has a device that he presses the button. That he can't seem to press the button.
Yeah, it's called a vacuum cleaner, Bill.
Yes.
We get one of those early on scenes where we get him sucking up the skirt of the sister of the house or whatever, which again is...
And I thought that's going to be one of those animes.
It's going to be one of those animes, right? Hopefully she's wearing underwear.
Because you gotta. You just gotta.
I love how much they just beat the shit out of Sergeant Frog.
Oh, he is definitely the butt monkey of the show.
Yeah. So let's describe Sergeant Frog. He's like a 2 foot tall, maybe, if that, anthropomorphic frog man. He's green. He's got a yellow star on his little white tummy. Yep.
And he's got the dumb hat.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got the amazing hat.
I don't understand the hat at all.
His face vaguely resembles the alien from the 1950s War of the Worlds movie.
Yes.
Which I don't know if that's really, if that's intentional or just me.
It's got to be intentional. Like, the show already like name dropped a lot of like really weird references and things along the way. So I imagine it's got to be somewhat intentional. This is Sergeant Keroro. I can never say that.
Keroro.
Like this first episode is really weird. We're introduced to like this young girl who I can't remember her name now.
Natsumi Hitana.
Natsumi.
Thank you. It's Natsumi. Yeah. And Fuyuki Hinata, I believe, is the brother's name as well.
Yep.
They are our main sort of human characters in this story alongside of the sergeant. And we find out that apparently this creature, this alien creature, is just kind of living with them.
Yeah, because again, it's Alf.
Yep. Alf. Yeah.
But he's also trying to like take every opportunity to destroy them.
Or enslave them.
Yes. Because he's got this Kero ball, I believe was what it's called. And yep. It's just got like, it's just a big metal ball that kind of reminds me of...
Like a toddler toy?
Yeah, like Chibi Usa's like, magical ball or whatever, but this one's got like buttons everywhere on it.
It's the magical do-anything device.
Yep.
Apparently, because I can't remember if it's this episode or the second one, 1B, where the kid is just like floating home from school because he's using the the little like device, the ball, and he could have blown up the world or something like that with it. I don't know. It's bizarre. Fuyuki ends up saving his sister, who's like, I think, hanging upside down at one point. Or maybe no, that's the other episode. Yeah. But like he
yeah, that's second part.
He uses the ball to like zap the hell out of Sergeant Frog.
Originally, I thought he thought the frog was in trouble.
Oh, I think you're right. He rushes in thinking the frog is actually going to be the one in trouble. So he's going to save him.
Yeah, he was going to use a instant teleport or something on the ball, but he screws up and uses the death zapper.
10,000 volts, Bill. How many volts is that? Like
10,000?
To... Yeah, okay, thank you, Bill.
Like... 10 megavolts. What do you...
Comparatively to like an outlet in a house.
Well, outlet in a house would be is 120.
Okay, so that's a lot more. Okay, got it.
It's a lot more. But that doesn't necessarily mean... We don't want to get into the whole thing about voltage versus amperage. And
okay, fair enough.
Because, like, a static electricity zap is, like, hundreds of thousands of volts. Because there's no amperage.
Oh, really?
And it's amperage is the thing that makes it, like,
hurt. Okay.
I know.
I thought we weren't getting into it.
I'm Mr. Finally Know All About Something.
When he fries Sergeant Frog, he turns into a Kenshiro from Fist of the North Star in the Japanese.
This leaves the poor sergeant a charred mess on the floor. He says, hey, careful with that. That button, the one right next to the dance party button, could just destroy the Earth. I feel like both episodes, both part one and part two, essentially everything that happens in both of these is just him trying to enslave them, but like doing a shit job at it.
Pretty much.
Yes. One must wonder if Jonan Vasquez created Invader Zim after watching or reading some Sergeant Frog.
You know, that... I kept dancing around trying to figure out what it reminded me of. You're right. It's got a lot of Zim vibes, too.
Oh, for sure. You have this dude that is just, like, he's trying, and he's got these evil plans, but they never work, and no one really, like, cares what he's doing.
Yeah. And the humans that he interacts with are obsessed with the supernatural and things like that.
Yeah, because we meet the mom. I think it's in the first episode. The mom's like, hey, so, I want to give you your own room. And they're like, why would you give the alien that wants to enslave us its own room? And the only reason that she wants to give him a room is like, she's like, design it any way you want. Make it look like your mothership back home. Because apparently she writes for like anime or manga or science fiction stories.
Well, she says comic book, so it must be manga.
A children's manga in the Japanese is what it says.
Yes. Okay. I love, there's a couple of references there too. Like the mom if he doesn't stop his shit, the mom will sell him to Ripley's.
Yeah, or we should have sold him to Ripley's right away.
Yeah, I love all these characters. I love the mom. I love Sergeant Frog. And I love that, like, when he redoes his room, you know, she's expecting this, like, crazy technological thing. And it's just like a chill bachelor pad.
Yeah, it really is.
My own notes say, Keruro Gunso's room, jealous.
Oh, completely. He just, like, chilly, like, kind of, like, spins around in his gaming chair, and he's like, you know, I'm just making a mixtape. you know, just might play some video games.
which comes after the reveal that his room was originally a prison cell.
What the fuck was all that about? Like, why?
This house has a history.
It's like, yeah, there was like a enslaved, chained up, crying Japanese girl that died down here. It's fine. No big deal. What?
In the dub, it was a whole chain of like a graveyard that was built on top of a a mouth of hell that was built on top of. And then the little girl was like in a prison here.
I definitely need to watch both versions.
You really do. Mm-hmm. The English version, I just love the narrator. I don't know how the narrator is in the Japanese version, but the narrator in the English version is just cracks me up with all of, like, the weird asides and, like, strange things. Like, at one point, Natsume's really pissed off, and Sergeant Keruro's like, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm such a genius, and she's all staring, and she's like, I'm not jealous, and the narrator's like, yeah, she's really jealous. It's just, like, just little things like that. I love it. I absolutely love it.
And I love how she breaks the fourth wall whenever the narrator says something she doesn't like.
Uh-huh. Absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really episode 1A. Like, there's nothing, I don't really know what else to talk about. It's just right. fucking yeah. weirdness.
He gets his own room and it's got a ghost.
Yeah, pretty much. That's then the next one, I think. And it's, but that's weird. Or it might, I don't remember which one. She gets, so like, the sister gets essentially tied up in the next one. And like, cause like the frog is like infiltrating their room and is hiding behind a poster or wallpaper or something.
Yeah, that's how they first met. That's the beginning of episode 1, part B.
Yeah, he's literally hiding in some wallpaper in that room for some reason.
She's like, an alien! And he's and Fuyuki's like, where? And Frog just like, uh-oh, they spotted me.
And he's like, how did they see past my disguise? It was a perfect disguise. It's like, dude, you're just hiding behind some wallpaper.
Well, but they didn't see through his disguise. She was being sarcastic. She was trying to mess with her brother and just randomly pointed somewhere.
That's true. That's true. I forgot about that. So he gets caught pretty quickly. Like, I think the subtitles are like the writing says like 1,000 seconds later and he's like hanging upside down from the ceiling. They're like, what the hell is this thing? And they're like, yep, that's an alien. And he's like, no, just one of your regular old earth frogs that talks because of magic. Yes, magic.
Oh, yeah. That was a great scene. I don't know what this mom is, but I do not fear her. Oh, you should, Froggy. You should.
Yeah. And mom hates animals, so.
So, yeah, like, they have him tied up, and then they steal his little device that the brother plays around with it at school. I think he ends up, like, flying home with it.
He's playing with it on the roof of the school. He floats for a short distance, and then it makes an alarm noise, and he smashes it to try and get it to stop, and
yes.
That signals the alien mothership or something.
Oh, yes, because I think at the end of this episode, we find out that the aliens are not coming back for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, because the kids sent the distress signal, and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fallen in enemy hands. They must be tougher than we thought. Let's leave.
Indeed. Or as I put it, the full Frog Force foray is floundering. Earth forces feared from Fuyuki's frolicking. Frog forces flee for now.
That's fucking good.
That's succinct.
And somewhere in there, Fuyuki and Keroro are becoming friends, maybe, or not.
Yeah, I think so. Like, because he's like, I just wanted to be friends. And then Sergeant stops and he's like, wait a minute, friends? Like really friends? And then doesn't he, like, step on him or something?
He does. He's like, oh, but I'm an invader. We're going to conquer you. But still, friendship. That sounds wonderful. Oh, but got to conquer you. Sorry.
This show's fucking bonkers.
It's weird.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't even know what else to talk about. At one point, their group that the aliens are from or something, or like his specific force or whatever, has an unfortunate acronym that smells out. Actually, really, that works. Spells out the word armpit.
Yes, and it took me so long to figure out what it spelled out. I kept like going back 10 seconds and writing the next word, and because they said it really fast, and I finally figured out armpit, and I let it go, and then like 2 minutes later, they actually just said armpit. Squad.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I have no idea where that was in the one I watched.
It might have been an English thing. Maybe only in the English dub.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the Advanced Recon Patrol, or Advanced Recon Military Patrol Infantry and Tactics or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things that probably is a joke that would only work in English.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of all these episodes are. It's just, here's this frog, and he's here to take over, but now he's just going to live with this family who the one kid really wants, like, likes him and wants to be friends with him. The other one can't stand him, and the mom just really wants to learn about alien culture so she can write her kids' books.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to, like, learn. She wants to slack off at work so she can just write.
Yeah! I mean, totally understand where she's coming from there.
I like where the visuals that her mind put forth, like when she's imagining Sergeant Frog turning his room into something like his home planet. It's like this weird goopy, egg-filled thing, and he's spider-walking around.
Uh-huh. I love that, too. It's a cool image of, like, the shadowy version of him with spider legs.
Very strange.
I also like the line of the mom when, like, mom comes home for the first time, and Natsume's like, oh, you're home early? And she's like, yeah, the director said that we draw better with our pants off, and I wasn't going to be there for that, or something like that. I'm like, oh, my God.
The artist says he draws faster
with his pants off
in his underwear.
Yeah, in his underwear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit.
I think that's what I went like, Shin-chan, huh?
Okie dokie.
Yeah, there's a little Shin-chan going on there.
Also, it's weird to have, like, the fan service character be the mom.
I mean, I'm glad the fan service, if they're going to have a fan service character, I'm glad it's the mom and not the kids.
No, yeah.
Please age it up.
There is a moment where he's, like, in her cleavage, though, right?
Yeah, at the very end of, like, the second part of the episode, she's like, oh, I guess we can keep him or something, and, like, smothers him.
And he's, like, staring up through her tits.
Yep.
Indeed.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm glad I can stay here.
What about that closing theme? With the fucking 3D animation golden Afro'd frog.
Afro Gunso.
What? Why are the Japanese so obsessed with Afros?
Again, I got some Excel vibes.
No, exactly. What is happening?
I literally have no idea. I just really like the CGI dancing frogs.
Well, you see, Bill, when you're Japanese, growing an afro is really haired. I should smack myself for that one.
All right. Anything else on this episode? I don't really know what else to talk about. I just, this is bonkers. This is Excel level bonkers, Shin-chan level bonkers.
What age bracket is this show for?
I don't know.
Is it just a messed up kids show, or is it an adult show, like putting on the trappings of a kids show? Or
I feel like there's not enough dirty in it, and like some of the weird references, at least in the dub. Again, I don't know how it is in the subtitled version. Like, I feel like it could go over kids' heads enough that it would be fine.
Well, I guess that's also the thing. Like, who was it for in Japan, and who do they dub it for? I think they must have dubbed it for an older like anime audience.
I would probably agree with that. Matt, do you have any thoughts on that?
From what I can tell from what you've said, in the English dub, they definitely dove fully into the absurdity a little more than they do in the Japanese version.
So it is a Shin-chan type idea with the English dub a little bit. Do you know there were 358 episodes of this show?
Yep. And I bet you the story never finished.
Oh, I'm sure it didn't. I have no idea. All I know, because I've watched probably like maybe 10 or 11 episodes of this, there are other frogs, as you might imagine.
Well, and I kind of wondered because they brought it up, like we saw them in the end and stuff. But so like that's the rest of Armpit is still on Earth too. Like there's five of them or something.
Something like that, yeah. There's some good ones. There's some good frogs to come if you continue watching the show, which is a weird sentence.
In 2005, the manga received the 50th Shogakukan Manga Award for the children's manga category.
Okay.
Which is for 10 years and under.
Okay, so maybe originally meant for a younger audience, and then the dub took the weird route of kind of aging up the story a little bit for a little bit older of an audience.
Yeah.
All right, well, any other scenes or moments that stand out to either of you before we give our recommendations on this show?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. Well, this is the part of the show where we talk about our overall thoughts as far as like whether we would be wanting to continue this show or not. I will start. It's a big yes for me. I have watched much of it. I haven't watched all of it because there's 300 some episodes, but I've watched it enough that I enjoyed what I was watching, and it kept my interest. But I'm the kind of person that, like, you know, watching 10 or 11 episodes is a lot because I just don't binge very well and very easily. So is it something I want to maybe go back to now that we rewatch this first episode? Possibly. I might actually do that somewhat soon once I'm done with some other stuff. So I'm gonna say yes for me.
It's more or less Invader Zim if you landed in Japan, so I'm down for it completely.
I think I'm a no. It's just too much. I can watch, if I watch Invader Zim, I can watch Invader Zim. I think the only, the hot mom aside, I think it's just too, I mean, okay, it's Invader Zim with a MILF. I think it's just a little too much for me.
Well, those are verdicts. Go check that out again on Funimation or Crunchyroll. So next time around, we're back to Bill and Bill's choice. Bill, do you have an anime in mind for next time?
I've heard things about a particular anime from several friends of mine, and it follows a topic I care about, which is food. So I think we're going to try Food Wars.
Food Wars!
Yeah, suggested by one of the hosts over in the now-defunct Words of Geekdom.
Oh yeah, formerly part of the Questionable Endeavor Network, now defunct.
Yes, him and another host from another defunct Questionable Endeavor, Will from Pawn Stars, or... Pawn Stars, fucking me.
Wow, man, I got lucky. I got Pawn Stars on our network.
Will from Pawn Stars.
Yes.
Was also a fan of this anime. So I guess we're going to give it a try because I'm out of things to do.
I've never seen it.
And I have. And I can't wait to get your reactions.
I think Magic with Babish has done a few episodes too, so.
Gotcha. Well, we'll talk about that next time. But for now, let's close up this episode of Tuning In.
By Tuning Out. And that was Tuning In, the Tuning Japanese sub-program where we watch the first episode of an anime for the very first time and give our impressions on it. That was Sergeant Frog, everybody.
Yeah. And my name was Andy.
My name is Matt.
And I'm Bill, and I'm kind of thinking Matt's cheating because he's seen these things before.
Well, we'll see you next time. We'll find out.
Kisses.
This should just be a show about me not watching stuff.
Thank you so much for listening to Tuning In. This bonus series is made for our amazing patrons. Special thanks to Brian Nash, Matthew Van Diver, Dan Park, and Andrew Caswell. Get access to all future Tuning In episodes at patreon.com/tuningjapanese. The song Neon Laser Horizon is by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Used under a Creative Commons 4.0 license.
What the? Kero, kero, kero. The tables have now been turned. Give me back my Kero ball, Picaponian.
What ball?
Don't play dumb! Trust me, you will not like space torture.
Huh? What are you gonna do to me?
Don't ask me. You should ask Coco. Coco enjoys booty dancing, long walks on rocky meteors, and slowly digesting enemies until they talk.
I love you, stupid ball!
Yeah, too bad for you!
The North Star button is pretty handy. Or was that Bruce Lee? You're not worthless. This thing rocks. It can do anything. I floated all the way home from school.
Glad to know you're having fun.